this has been previously explained, that that the actual essence of Krishna's existence is his beauty. That is what is the most wonderful, most sweet, most attractive. Because that is purely his. Right? It means the person and their beauty, you equate directly. That is them. But something like their power, their fame, their wealth, renunciation, these things, what they may have, they may not have. Right? Somebody today is wealthy, tomorrow they're not wealthy, their beauty remains. If they're famous or not famous, if they have beauty, that remains. It always remains. So of all the qualities of Krishna, all these six opulences, this is the most essential, the most sweet. Therefore we see it's the form that attracts. The gopis, the devotees see the form of the Lord, they're attracted. So this is then why the, you know, how do you say, most preferred name, or most used name is Krishna, or the all-attractive one. He is the most attractive, because this is his most prominent of all his unlimited qualities. It's just that sweet attractiveness of his beauty. So this then becomes, you know, the thing noticed by the residents of Vrindavan. His wealth, his various opulences and power and influence, this they don't notice. Now and again they think about it for a few moments and they observe it, but it's not the main interest of these devotees. It's not their main focus. When Nanda Baba went to Varuna's place and then Krishna came, then that is the thing. He's the controller of the controller, Vishwara Vishwaraha. He's the supreme controller. He is the source of everything. He is the greatest, most powerful, most of everything. So then, only then Nanda Baba notices. He goes there and sees Varuna's place, very, very opulent. And he's basically, probably, not spent much time in kings. Only when they go pay tax to Kamsa, then they go and see the opulence of the kings. But we know that the opulence here is less than we will see the opulence in the other planets. So Varuna is one of the main, he's one of the Lokapalas. So one of the four main demigods. Him, Indra, Agni, and Yama. So these are the most prominent positions in the universe. You know, other than of course Brahma and the other higher persons. But within the managerial structure, the day-to-day management, these are the top persons. So his court, his opulence, his power and influence is very great. Plus, yeah. So, then going there, then he sees great opulence. And when they get there, he is respected by Varuna. Then when Krishna comes, who's a little boy, then Varuna is respecting him, offering worship, prayers, standing, saying he's very sorry for his foolish servants. So this then becomes an amazement for Nanda Maharaj, who didn't think, he's just his young boy, that if he doesn't take care, then he will get into trouble, and his health may not go well, he may not get enough rest, or he may be overworked. So then it becomes an amazement. So he went back, he tells all the residents there in Vrindavan, he tells them about the great opulence of Varuna, and how Varuna, great powerful demigod, that he is offering prayers to Krishna. And so then for some moments, then they think, oh, so wonderful, so nice. But they're appreciating his opulence. They're not bewildered by it. It doesn't become their source of affection for Krishna. Still the source of affection is his beauty, his sweetness. That remains. Even though they may appreciate the opulence, it does not disturb. This is one of the symptoms of the advanced devotees, is that any situation that Krishna is in, anything, it brings about an appreciation. So therefore, we see Prabhupada mentions that the devotees of Vrindavan, they are also happy to hear of Krishna's Dwarpalila. It's not the Prabhu. They're happy hearing. But it in no way changes the flavor that they have towards Krishna. That remains. Therefore, they're not disturbed. See, one has to be careful about hearing Gorkha Leela if one will become attracted by this and give up worship of Krishna. Right, we hear about Vaikuntha, we give that up. Or we hear about his pastimes in the heavenly planets and the demigods. Oh yeah, we give up, you know, our ideas for, you know, Raja Bhakti. But for them, it's just Krishna has all these nice things he does, so wonderful. They appreciate it, you know, for some time. But their main fixed rule, the staikov, that is, that in relationship with Krishna is just the most wonderful, most sweet. So therefore, these other five opulences of Krishna are appreciated. But actually, just his beauty, his sweetness, that is what for them is important. They're just like the mother may appreciate the child did, you know, something wonderful at school, in his academics with the teachers, or in some playing with the other boys, like that. She may appreciate it. But what stays, remains, is her relationship with the child, his mother. That doesn't change. It's not that she appreciates him as an academic, so now that she then changes her mood, or, you know, he's good at soccer, so now she becomes a soccer fan. You know, no. That it's her son. That doesn't change. So we see is that nothing can change the flavor that these devotees have towards Krishna. So Krishna has to consider deeply then how to do this, how to fulfill their desire to see the spiritual realm. At the same, you know, that shows the proper path. Means because he won't do something that is not proper. It's not the path. He won't break the path. He made the system, so why he will change the system? Right? It means you can, a higher principle can replace a lower principle, but you cannot change a principle. So he must maintain the principles of how one attains to the spiritual realm. At the same time, he must show others, the conditioned living entities, why their position wandering around in the material world is useful. The Vrajavasis are wandering around in Vraj, and they're not really worried about, you know, becoming God conscious. They are simply in love with Krishna. So they are, you could say they are just attached to their own relative, family member, or, you know, village community member, like this. They are attached to that. And they are attached to beauty, his sweetness, his nice voice. No, nothing what we would say is spiritual. It's not that, yes, such a great philosopher and such a nice sadhaka that they appreciate these qualities of knowledge or renunciation or, you know, something that is his detachment that's useful for obtaining liberation. Right? Someone who's interested in liberation, they appreciate someone else's detachment from the material nature, or someone else's knowledge by which one can get out of the material world. So that will be considered important. So you'll see that. Or at least we respect the wealth of others. Unless we desire wealth, then we must seriously respect it. But if we're not, then we see this man is wealthy. I have to deal with him as a wealthy person. But if I want wealth, then very much I have to respect him as a wealthy person. Otherwise, how I'll get wealth? I have to see. How did he do? How does he deal? How does he keep his money? How does he deal with others? So many things. We must see. So it must be, you know, highly respected, not just, you know, acknowledged. But we don't see that this is going on with the residents of Vrindavan. So there's not some these higher principles of either piety or jnana or yoga. It's just they're attached to Krishna because he's the member of their family and community. So therefore, then one could say they're just wandering around like everybody else, just doing their daily duties, taking the cows out, increasing their wealth, you know, enjoying with family members, spending their time together. So they're, in this way, then it could be said about them. But saying this about them shows their elevated position, not their conditioned position. The conditioned soul is conditioned by these things. They're wandering about because they don't know about the Supreme Lord. They're completely ignorant of the Supreme Lord. So they think material life is all in all. But these devotees then have gone beyond that, where they don't even know God is God. They don't really care. So they're just interested in His beauty. Because when we say God, God means what? Most people think He's powerful, right? He's powerful, He's, you know, wealthy, you know, His influence is the greatest, all knowledge, right? In many religions of the world, they'll say God is not beautiful. They'll say that God's the most terrible to behold. Right? This is the statement within the Old Testament. Right? So it's the basis of basically most of your world religions. To look at God is terrible. He does not look nice. Right? Old man, very powerful. You know, you get him upset, you're in trouble. You know. So therefore, there's a problem because there's not affection. There's not love. When there's affection, then there's not, one does not see control. Control is not a problem. Control is part of the affection. But if one doesn't have love, then control is a problem. You may surrender or acknowledge that because they're more powerful. So there's an element of fear. God is the most powerful. He can give me the most trouble if I don't behave properly. Therefore, out of fear, I acknowledge God's power. Or at least you respect the power, you appreciate the power, so therefore you want to take part in serving the Lord. It's not out of fear, it's out of, you know, some proper attention towards the Lord. That may be there. But still, it's still a managerial consideration. It's an administrative consideration that I'm smaller and he's bigger. So he's in control. But when there's affection, control is not seen. Therefore, because of affection, the child doesn't notice the control of the mother, or the mother doesn't worry about the control that the child influences over the mother, or husband for wife, wife for husband, friend for another friend. Control is very much there. That's very much part of the relationship. Very much part of the relationship, but no one minds because of affection. So therefore, they've gone beyond this. They've gone beyond this desire for control. Worrying about control. So therefore, it is simply love. Therefore, it appears. So the highest, it is there in the spiritual realm, is reflected here as the lowest. So Krishna then has to consider how to deal with this so that people will understand, you know, the situation. He will take care of the materialist understanding there is a higher goal. He will show the path for the materialist to attain the highest goal. And he will show his dearly beloved associates, eternal associates, how they are part of they are already in the goal. So this he has to consider. You know, so he thinks deeply here. Then we will see after this, in the following verses, then he will reveal how one attains to the spiritual realm and how these residents are already in the spiritual realm. They're already in the realm. So when he reveals this Lord's realm, they're already there. Then they can understand that they're already in the perfectional stage and their affection for Krishna, that is all that matters. Then again, they will just come back to the normal state of relationship. A Krishna is just their family member, their relative, their friend, their child, their lover. And they will forget about, again, that he's the Supreme Lord. So, then, another point made here is the purport here is that it's natural, since we like to be in very beautiful and peaceful surroundings, then it's God's surroundings, his abode is like that. People are worried about gain and safety. Right? Gain means opulence, gain means beauty, all these nice things. And safety then will mean it's peaceful. Right? If it's safe, we're peaceful. So the Supreme Lord, his is the most beautiful and the most safe, the most peaceful. He's the source of this. So since we are interested in this, it must be coming from God. But Krishna has to show now how our interest in gain and safety is misdirected if we think it will be obtained here in this material world. But real gain and real safety is at the lotus feet of the Lord, with his associates in the transcendental realm. That is the actual position. So that will have to be shown by Krishna. How to obtain that and what it is. Any questions or comments? Questions about beauty within this world. I mean, we're saying that beauty is the foremost of the six qualities. So then, in this material world, then someone with beauty then is not in a position of control. Because beauty is an opulence. It is also a way that can be used as control. It can be. But the problem is it's one of the least effective of the methods of control. In the beginning it is, but later it's not. Because in the material world, beauty doesn't last. But Krishna's beauty is eternal. So therefore, that sweet relationship with Krishna can last eternally. While we see this sweet relationship in this world, amongst young persons, then that sweetness goes with time. And it just gets down to practical day-to-day, interaction. Based on, money, facilities, the control, detachment from the material nature, all these things. So, in the material world, generally, these other things are the main function. Though the attractiveness is beauty. But unfortunately, nothing here lasts. You get some nice, beautiful object, a table, a chair, something, and it goes bad after a while. Right? Everything goes bad, but you get these things by the other opulence. Right? You want other things. You're not just, beauty is not enough, right? You will not find a young couple sitting eternally on, a park bench watching, the sunrise and sunset, all day, 24 hours a day, listening to birds chirp. And at some point they have to eat, they have to have a place to live in, they have to, maybe facilities for family members, they have to educate, they have to protect, they have to do all this. So that requires the other five opulences. Right? Without detachment, then there's no piety. Without piety, then there's no opulence. There's no progress. There's no knowledge that's not attained, wealth is not attained, fame is not attained. Right? So therefore, then there must be these other aspects. Then things progress. Otherwise, then they don't progress. So we see this is an example of influence based on piety. Right? Gentle piety. One person comes, we're having, this big formal assembly, hundred people here. Everything stops, because the person wants to offer respects to Tulsi and to, the Bhagavatam and everybody here. And it stops. You know, it doesn't, it's not a, it's not as so much a disturbance. It's like a, it's constant, of course. But the point is this is the position of the Vedic culture, is that if it's practiced, it's a different kind of influence, different kind of power. That is what is there. Right? This is what is misjudged. The modern means it must be rough, abrasive, you must, that's power. In the Vedic culture, it's a different kind of power. You know, one old lady coming to offer respect stops the whole situation. It's a different kind of power. This is pious power. The modern, that's impious power. That's the power of animals. But this is human power. We see it's actually more powerful, because it stops everything, not just one thing, a small group, everything. And, you know, everyone has to smile and appreciate, okay, the elder community is coming, offering respects, doesn't know what's going on, but whatever. So this beauty, in this material world, it's not a foundation that can last. So it's the opposite. It's the highest in the spiritual world of all the opulences. The most sweet, most wonderful, therefore it manifests the realm of Raja. Then lower than that, the other is then the manifest Dwarka of Vaikuntha. In this world, then those five opulences manifest this world. And the beauty and all that is, you know, yes, okay, the young people, when they don't really know what's the reality of life, they get involved. But when they get real, right, then it's, you know, the buck. You know, you have to get your money, you gotta get your things like that. Sweetness doesn't buy a whole heck of a lot, you know. And even if it does, it won't last for more than a few years. Shri Prabhupada ki, Sri 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 Prabhupada ki,